Our reading this morning comes to us from Psalm 139. Listen again to God's word for us. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were before me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me, those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Last week, during our sermon time together, we talked about belovedness, what it means to be beloved, to take that into ourselves, and to hear a calling to be people who proclaim that into the world. And last week, we began this time with a story about Fred Rogers. Well, today, I'd like to talk about belovedness again and start out with another story about Fred Rogers. In 1997, Fred Rogers won a Lifetime Achievement Award Emmy. As he walked on stage to receive the award, the room was filled with so much appreciation for him. Even before he ever said a word, there were smiles and tears. But that appreciation grew even more as he began to speak. In his acceptance speech, Rogers moved the spotlight away from himself toward the people who have shaped us, people unseen in the room, yet people who had seen us, truly for who we are, people known to us as those who loved us. And when he started his speech, he said, "All of us have special ones who have loved us into being. Would you just take, along with me, 10 seconds to think about the people who have helped you become who you are? Those who have cared about you and wanted what was best for you in life. 10 seconds of time. I'll watch the time. People giggled at that last part. But then you could see everyone's minds go to very loving places. People sat in silence with tears in their eyes, remembering the presence of people who have loved them into being. It was a beautiful span of silence, filled with many memories. He continued, "Whomever you've been thinking about, how pleased they must be to know the difference you feel they've made. You know, they're the kind of people television does well to offer our world." Such a sacred moment. And as we think about that experience of being loved into being and the people who have loved us into being, I suspect that these very people so often saw us, so often looked in our direction and proclaimed belovedness in how they saw us, how they spoke to us, how they were present to us. And so we come to this psalm, this well-known psalm, Psalm 139. And we encounter a God who is proclaiming belovedness upon us and upon our world, and proclaiming this with presence and the intention to see us as we are, love us, and call us into deeper love. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the depths of hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that by being seen and being told. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. Your eyes. We are seen, and we are proclaimed as beloved, and we are called into a ministry of that very proclamation. And then the psalm ends in a very interesting way. Often when this scripture is read in worship, people leave out this part because it is such a quick turn. I'll never forget the way that Judy Skaggs read this passage in worship, a pastor in Austin, Texas. We were on the same staff in the same congregation there. I remember this pause she put before the very last line. Oh, it is a quick turn from what has gone before. So let's dare to hear it again, even if it is somewhat hard to hear. The psalmist says, "Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me." Hard words, though maybe we can understand feeling that way sometimes. "Those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." And perhaps a pause, a moment of reflective silence. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The God who sees us, loves us into being, and proclaims belovedness upon us sees these other parts of ourselves too. These parts of our world, these ways in which we turn against each other, ways in which we remove that proclamation of belovedness and fill it instead with hatred, mistrust, disgust, scapegoating, racism, all our isms. God sees this too. And perhaps inside ourselves, or on behalf of our nation and world, we take that pause and say, search me yet again, you, the God who sees. See if there's any wicked way in me or in us, and lead us into the way everlasting. Of course, last week we encountered something vile in the words and perspectives of the president. I'm not trying to be partisan here, but I want to name, honestly, the reality of the damage in these words. This isn't the first racist thing he's said, and sadly, it probably won't be the last. And that phrase he spoke about immigrants from Haiti and nations in Africa, I believe he also may have said it about El Salvador. I don't necessarily need to say that word today, but I call it to our minds so we can call it out and name it for the wrong it is. The President of the United States grouped together nations where the people primarily have black skin and wondered why such immigrants should be allowed to locate here from these places. And yet, as challenging as it is to hear a president say something like this, this is not just the president, and it's not just words. It is also policy. It includes the ways we interact with one another. It involves the ways we see each other, or don't see each other, or choose never to question the ways we consider some as less than or with contempt. I want to read to you today what the Reverend Denise Anderson said, one of the co-moderators of the Presbyterian Church USA. These are her words. For me, the most infuriating impact from 45's reckless and racist comments is that my immigrant friends and family, particularly those from Haiti and various African countries, feel they have to defend their families' contributions to American society. They remind us that they've contributed lawyers, doctors, professors, and other professionals to this nation. Somehow this person's comments result in yet another show us your papers moment for people of color, whereby we have to reiterate our value, our very humanity, to people who have no intentions of honoring it anyway. The fact is, it doesn't matter whether you're a physician or a cab driver, a luminary or a ne'er-do-well. It doesn't matter to the bigot, because all he will see is someone who thinks is beneath him. And it doesn't matter to God, and it shouldn't matter to us, because a person's worth is not inherent in how much education they are able to attain, how much money they are able to make, or how compelling a life's story they're able to craft. You do not have to defend your humanity to people who would see sick homeless people cast out of hospitals and onto the street wearing nothing but the gown they were issued. You do not have to defend your humanity to people who would ravage our ecology for profit. You do not have to defend your humanity to people who would invest millions in juvenile corrections facilities while children go to schools that have no heat. You do not have to defend your humanity to people who would send young adults halfway across the world to fight in conflicts and fail to sufficiently care for them when they return home. You do not have to defend your humanity to people who would be content to leave their fellow citizens literally in the dark for months after a natural disaster. No, friends, it is not your humanity that needs to be verified. Those are Denise Anderson's powerful words. We in our humanity are participating in these things. It's not just the president, it's us. We are complicit. And though God sees and proclaims belovedness, we sometimes avert our eyes from these injustices. Tomorrow, our nation will remember and honor the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And as you know, likely, Facebook yet again will turn into an opportunity to post a lot of Martin Luther King quotes. You know, the ones that make us feel good, especially those of us with white skin. We have sanitized and minimized what he has to say to us. But perhaps we would do well to read some of his more challenging and gripping comments, the very kind that enraged people and made them angry enough to harm him and others. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead us in the way everlasting. The truth is, God does see, and God does search. God does love, and God does call. God calls us into seeing and searching and loving and proclaiming, to look at the fallout of these things and more. And again, to see more and more, we pray as God sees. To reflect what is true, a belovedness that cannot be lost, despite the fact that people do hate and harm. And to say, since this cannot be lost, let's reflect a world that reflects that truth. Let's interact with one another in a way that brings that truth into greater being, that loves into being. Friends, who has loved you into being? How is God loving you into being right now? And how are we called to love anew with our vision and with our actions?